Okay, thank you, Paulina. Good evening. Welcome to the January 26, 2023 Pacifica National Board meeting. This is Beth Von Glinton, Vice Chair, standing in for Julie Hewitt, Chair, until she's able to join us later. We'll start with a roll call. Aki?
Okay, sure. Teresa Allen? Teresa? Okay, get back to Jim Dingman.
Here.
Jim is here. Okay, Vanessa Dixon.
I'm here.
Okay, Vanessa is here. Good Corn. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Sue is here. Heather Gray.
Here.
Heather is here. Okay, Donna Grimes.
Here.
Donna is here. Judy Hewitt.
Oh, here halfway.
Yeah, she's halfway. Okay. Evadia Jones?
Present.
Okay, Evadia is here. Alexa?
Here.
Alexa is here. Maria Martinez?
Here.
Maria is here.
Here.
Good. James McFadden?
Here.
James is here. Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Darlene is here. And Susan Rhodes? Sean Rhodes. I'm sorry. I'm reading off my text here. Sean Rhodes.
John Rhodes is here.
Okay. And Jim Sagerton?
Here.
And Jim is here. Sharon Salam?
I'm here.
Salam is here. I'm here for sure. Mark Vandanduit? Mark? Okay, I'll put you down. Beth Van Gutten?
Here.
Beth is here. Igbeoto Woodies. Okay. Susan Young.
Here.
Okay. Susan is here. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Stephanie's here. Arthur Schwartz. Might come in later, right? John Tatum.
I'm here.
Okay. John is here. Paulina?
I'm here as well.
Okay, where is that? Let me go back and make sure that Teresa, are you there?
Okay. Teresa is traveling. She will try to call in, and I see Egberto.
Okay,
has just appeared in the face.
Okay, Egberto, are you there? And Mark,
Egberto, did you speak up?
Anyway, we have calls, so we'll touch base as I'll look at Igberto. I see Igberto on the this year. Okay. All right. In any case, we have a call.
Thank you, Aki. Next, I'll read the report out from executive session of January 19, 2023. The PNB met in closed session to hear reports about confidential, legal, and personnel matters. The PNB also passed the following motion, whereas on January 5, 2023, the PNB rescinded the KPFK LSB removal, KPFA LSB removal of Delegate Elizabeth Milos, whereas an officer of the KPFA LSB threatened to exclude Ms. Milos should the PNB rescind her removal, whereas all LSBs are committees of the PNB and required to comply with motions by the PNB, be it resolved that any failure by the KPFA officers to reseat Delegate Milos shall void any motions passed by the KPFA LSB and void any delegate assembly election of KPFA directors. Be it resolved that when representing Pacifica and the PNB, Pacifica General Counsel is also authorized to address any Pacifica meeting if requested by any director and shall be admitted and granted the floor as necessary in all good order. And just to be clear, that final clause was actually a separate motion. So those were two separate motions. Excused absences, is there... Do I hear a motion to excuse absences?
So move.
Second.
A second. Thank you. Are there any objections to that? Hearing no objections, we'll consider that adopted. We'd like to identify timekeepers and acknowledge that Aki has already agreed to serve as the recording secretary for the evening. Do I have volunteers for timekeeping positions? One for speakers, one for items.
Beth, this is Heather. I must apologize. I know I normally do it, but I'm driving, so I can't do it tonight.
Thank you, Heather. We know you would if you could. Is there anyone else prepared to step forth to stand in for Heather's usual taking this on?
I know how to do topics. I'm not so good at speakers. Maybe Darlene and I could split the duty.
How does that sound to you, Darlene?
I don't usually time speakers as well. So let's have a teeny tiny review of that when
okay,
we
so Darlene, I'll do speakers if you'll do topics.
All right.
If that's okay. And do I understand? And, Beth, you're going to have to remind us, or Heather, how long do we leave for speakers?
My understanding is that our tradition has been 90 seconds, a minute and a half each.
For first round?
Yes, that's correct. 90 seconds.
For the first round and 1 minute at the second round?
Should be, yep.
What are other people's recollections on this? I tend to just try to follow with whatever the ground rule is at the time. So is there?
Who's talking?
Wait, let's go with that. Unless I hear other suggestions or objections, let's go with that then.
Madam Chair, suggest a bold innovation.
Oh, well, apparently it was that guy.
When it hits the moment, I'm going to say, ding.
You're welcome to do that, Susan. I'm sure
which is the way they do it in city council.
Okay, all right. We'll take note. Thank you.
I don't know. Doesn't matter what it is. Don't kill us.
So we've done that now. Someone needs to mute. Thank you.
Julie, could you mute, please? Sorry to out you.
Thanks for keeping an eye on that for us, Paulina.
No worries.
I'm not where I can see. So next is agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. And so I will read down through, the agenda as proposed. We've been through item number one, preliminary procedures, A, called order, B, roll call, C, read the reports out, D, excused absences, E, identify timekeepers. We're down to two, agenda approval. Number three would be approval of minutes. Number four is motion on financial austerity at the PNB, motion on KPFA number five, motion on KPFK representation on the PNB. Number six is motion to facilitate a meeting of the KPFK LSB. Number seven, the ED report and Q&A. Number eight is general counsel report Q&A. Number nine, unfinished business. Cleaned up version of underwriting motion. Number 10 would be new business. Number 11 is a motion to move into executive session at a time certain of 10:30. And we'll review and approve the closed session agenda once we get that far. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as is?
Move to approve the agenda as it is.
And second? Is there
Beth, second? Beth, sorry, yes? I'm trying to get a question in. My agenda has a number more items than you just read out.
That's interesting. I'm
closed
meeting
session.
From the...
We're right. going to do the closed okay. session later.
Well, number 14 on the agenda I'm looking at says...
Please don't... That's a personnel item with a personnel name in it, and that's why it's in closed session. So everything that's italicized, everything after item number 13 is in closed session. And I do have those items, too, but we won't... read them out in open session because they're confidential for a reason. And we will
Beth,
go over
I'm,
those
I have a different agenda than you just read. And it isn't about italicized or not italicized.
I don't know what you have.
Okay.
I'm reading from the agenda that Paulina provided to us. That was
at
provided
what
to
time?
Julie.
At what time?
Do you know, Paulina, are you there? And can you?
Yeah, I'm here. I'll tell you at what time in a minute. Looking it up right
you.
Now. I sent it at 1:53 p.m. Pacific time. So shortly thereof.
Hey, hold on. I've received more than one.
Well, there were two agendas attached. One was labeled draft
okay.
agenda, public version, and the other one
No,
is-
Paulina, no. No. I'm saying I received a different agenda at 9-ish in the morning. So
oh, then
let
it wasn't
me,
then
let
it was not for me and I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Okay.
May I suggest,
I do see a different agenda. And it does end with item number 10. And then to move into executive session. So I was
looking at the
wrong agenda.
Okay. Darlene, because I don't have any way of knowing what you have, what you're looking at, I would like to suggest that Paulina resend you the agenda that we're working from now so that you'll be able to see it come in and know that it's the current one. And that way you'll be looking at the same thing the rest of us are. I don't know I don't have any way of knowing what the other things are that you're looking at. So let's just start fresh with a clean copy direct from Paulina, if that's okay. Paulina, is that possible?
Done. I just did it.
Thank you. And, Paulina, we'll go ahead if you have any further questions or difficulties with it, do please let me know. But I'm hoping that'll solve the problem. Thank you. We had a motion to approve, and was there a second? I think there was a second.
I seconded.
Was it? Thank you. And is there any discussion? I guess I have a question in that our usual order is reversed in that usually we receive reports from the ED and General Counsel first and then go to address our motions. And I'm not sure why that order is reversed tonight. But I guess we can do this as is.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Yeah, sorry, Susan.
Yes?
Perhaps I make a motion to have us go the regular time. You are perhaps in contact with Julie. I am. Order.
Well, I'm in contact with her only as much as she is, tuned in. I know she's driving and because of that might have intermittent access. So, and I don't have a visual. So,
I just walked into my house. I'm not quite on the Zoom yet and with an agenda in front of me, but it'll just be another, I don't know, 2-3 minutes maybe, max.
Okay. All right.
Madam Vice Chair?
Yes?
May I ask that we hold for a moment because of the question with the agenda? And so Julie can step up and the general counsel has just arrived.
That's good.
Okay. Teresa Allen.
And Teresa Allen? No.
So we'll pause for just a moment while Julie prepares to join us. And then we can ask her about the agenda. She knows a lot more about it than I do.
Well, I'm still on the phone, and well, I don't have my computer up yet, and the, you know, is there a good reason why I put items in front of the ED and general counsel report? Not really. It was easiest number-wise, you know, I don't know, just, you know, but it's not a big deal if people want to rearrange it and go the other way.
So, Madam Chair, whichever one it is, may I make a motion to put the ED and general counsel reports in the usual place?
I'll second that. And I guess that means that let that indicate that I'm now deferring as vice chair. I'm now deferring to the chair.
I'll third that because I get really tired at 1:30 in the morning.
All right. Okay. So I'm still working my way up to getting there computer wise. But so this is Julie and I'll take back over as being chair here at Beth. Then, are there any objections to the motion to amend the agenda to move the ED and general counsel report to be before the three motions that are on the agenda? All right, hearing none, we've amended the agenda. Is there any further discussion of the agenda? Hearing none, are there any objections to the amended agenda? Hearing none, we will adopt the agenda. Or consider the agenda adopted. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which will be, okay, one more second till it opens in front of my very eyes.
ED report,
thank you, and Q&A. And this is a 20-minute item. And folks, for this evening, if we stick to the times listed for each item, we will get to moving into executive session at a time certain of 10:30, and then we'll be able to conclude the whole agenda by midnight. So every time someone moves to extend, it puts us that much closer to not being able to either get through everything or not being able to move into closed session by 10:30. So I just wanted to alert people to that. So, Stephanie, would you like to give your ED report?
Yes, thank you. Everybody should have received something late this afternoon that was just basically written up of what I will be talking about. Markeisha and I have met with Jorge from our auditing firm a couple of times already now to begin the process with our fiscal year 22 audit. We are working together with him developing timelines for the process. He's creating checklists for us to use with each division, and we will most likely be meeting with him probably once every couple of weeks, possibly even once every week, just to make sure that we have everything lined up and ready to go when that process starts. So as we get closer to needing input from the audit committee, we will definitely be reaching out and getting those meetings and that committee started and active. Netta has also started shipping things, different papers and paperwork that they had stored for us while they were doing work, and they've been shipping that to me. I just received a couple of boxes today, so that's also on its way. All of the paperwork has been processed for the, or is in the process of being processing, but I would say it's 99% ready to go for the line of credit that we are receiving from FJC to help offset our priority aged payables. fingers crossed, everything goes as smoothly as it has gone so far. And we will be able to start making some of those priority payments, I would hope, by early next week. And the first tier of those aged payables that we want to pay from that line of credit is really focusing on a lot of the healthcare in insurance, dental insurance, and general liability, umbrella insurance, and D&O insurance. So we will be hopefully getting caught up with all of those very soon. I'm happy to say that all the divisions made payroll for this upcoming January 31st pay date. Payroll was due this evening at 5 p.m., and everybody was able to do that. So Markeisha has been working on getting everything processed with Paylocity. Some general info and updates. The Cahuenga Boulevard West property, the KPFK building, is not on the market yet, but we did meet with the brokerage firm earlier in the week. They were walking through the property to take pictures and also creating a 3D walkthrough that will be available when the listing is out and open. They're right now creating all the marketing materials for the property. They're also, we did meet also on Monday to talk about what we're looking for as potential sites for new locations. There isn't anything that is discussed or chosen, anything like that, but what they're actually doing right now is creating a map that has a point for locations where people that come to the station on a regular basis where they live. So we'll be creating that spreadsheet and then mapping out where everybody lives so we can try to find something that is conducive and workable for everyone. But we're still quite a bit off on the concept of having to move or sell or anything. Nothing is actually listed at this time. We are also working on, I'm putting together different, locating different moving companies, junk companies. Not there's junk inside there, but there will be a lot of cleanup that needs to happen. So we're working on, I'm getting bids, and a bunch of different companies to work on that as well when that time comes. Again, hopefully with the proceeds of that sale, our goal is to pay off the FJC loan, obviously set aside enough money to be able to find a location for KPFK in the archives, and that will be including the location, build-out expenses, and anything that's needed in that move, the moving costs. We also want to replace the funds that were seized from KPFA, and then we want to be able to make the partial payments to a lot of those past due payables that are over 120 days past due. We are on track for rolling out our employee personal evaluations in the next 2 weeks. Again, as stated last time, we're beginning with the self-evaluations for all the staff members, including the IGMs. People will have 3 weeks for their self-evaluation. They'll then send those to the supervisor for review. Supervisor will then evaluate the employee. All the reports will go to the GMs. I will be meeting with them during this process as well to go for the next steps. And we will be involving the LSBs for the evaluation process of the GMs as required after the self-evaluation and my evaluations take place. We're still on track to be able to complete all of this by late March. The sexual harassment prevention training was completed for all the paid staff at WBAI. I want to give a thank you for the staff there and for John Amelia for really working quite hard to get all of that successfully completed. And all of it needed to be done by today in order for the completion of the station's EEO report. So everybody did follow through and sent us their certificates and got everything done. So I thank them for that. Training will then begin with the paid staff and the other divisions. We'll do reach out to California first and get both of those stations. And again, those EEO reports aren't due until June for WPFW and August for KPFA and KPFK. There's no EEO report due for KPFT because they have less than 5 full-time employees. But regardless, we're still getting that training done for all of the stations and all of the divisions, including the affiliates and the archives. And we are trying to get all of that done early. So we're hoping to then be able to have, once it's done with the staff, then we'll reach out to the unpaid staff, the PNB and the LSB members, in late February, early March. And I think there's been some PNB members already who have sent me recent sexual harassment prevention trainings that they've taken at their offices. And those are definitely acceptable. So we're happy if you've already done that training within the last year with your the company that you currently work for. You can by all means send that to us and we'll put that on file so you won't have to do it again. I do have a couple of shout outs. I want to thank KPFT for paying their national office central service payments. Thanks to them and also the affiliate network, who has consistently paid their central services, but it's been a big step for KPFT to be able to do that. So, they're paying it on a regular basis and we thank them for that. We also just got word today that KPFK's CUME for the period December 8th, 2022 through January 4th, 2023 is up to 92,000. The prior month was 78,000. So that's quite a nice jump. And the share is back up to 0.2. So heartfelt thanks to all of the staff and the programmers at KPFK who have been working very hard, as well as all the other stations. To get those numbers up. Does anybody have any questions?
Sharon, salam to the staff.
Sharon, why don't you go ahead and go first, and then I see Susan and Jim, but go ahead, Sharon.
Well, my question is in reference to the sex harassment training, or whatever it's called. Is there also going to be a posting at each station of the policy regarding that particular type of training so that people who come into the station can see it?
A posting meaning
something that says we don't go along.
Each of the stations should have, I know they have it at KPFK because that's a station that I've been to, but each of the stations have a section within their building where they do post all the mandatory
signs,
requirements that are for HR.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you don't know if any of them are posted already in all of the stations, just some.
I have only been to KPFK. Everybody is very good. I know that there's on a regular basis, whenever we get any of those new documents that get sent out, they get sent to all of the stations and it's requested that they post them. Cynthia has been doing that, or when she, with Netta, she was sending those out. John sends those out and I send them out as well when I get them.
Okay.
Thanks. Susan?
First, will the evaluations include both paid and unpaid? That's number one. Number two, do we have dollars enough for the audit? And number three, do you have an estimate of when the KPFK building will actually be listed? And I want everybody to hear I am currently the person timekeeper. That's the end of my time.
I thought that the knife was, you were going to hit a bell or something.
I hit my glass.
The first question, yes, evaluations will be for paid and non-paid. Second question.
Dollars to pay for the audit?
As of right now, no. But we will, once we figure out what that actual cost will be and working, I mean, we know the importance of having to get that done, then we will work that out with the auditors and the auditing company.
And when will the building be listed?
I would guesstimate within a few weeks to a month, maybe less, but they're putting together the walkthrough and all the marketing paperwork. So they said would probably be done by the end of this week, but I haven't seen a copy of it yet, but it is also just Thursday. So being on the safe side, it probably will be within the next week or two, but.
Okay. And apologies, Madam Chair. We have engaged. This is the realtor who's been engaged. Is that correct?
Correct.
Got it.
And I will let everyone know prior to it going on the market.
Thanks. Dingaman is next.
Thank you. Several questions, Stephanie. First of all, it's great to hear that the sexual harassment training is rolling out, because as we all know, that will be a requirement for the CPB, that sexual harassment will be, training will be given to everybody, frankly. I think also volunteer, unpaid staff, are required to do that too. So that's a formidable task to get about 1,000 people through that. And I think the bullying is also a good thing to throw in the mix if we can get some free anti-bullying training. Secondly, the question of, the AFRs. Are we going to be able to complete on time and get them ready? Because everybody should know who is listening on this stream that right now we are copacetic to get funding because we are current with our financials. So are we going to hopefully not have a problem as we've had in the past since we're operating with less resources to get that done on time so we don't have that problem be created again? Thank you. Those are my questions. Oh, and a shout out to the people in California at KPFK for getting their cum up. That's great. Terrific.
Yes, the sexual harassment training, sexual harassment prevention training will be going out to everyone, including volunteers. We're kind of breaking it down, as I said, in chunks so we can try to get the staff, the paid staff done first, the volunteer staff and programmers done next. Staffing also includes, any sort of interns that are anywhere, and then we'll start branching it out to committee volunteers, LSBs, and PMBs. As far as the anti-bullying and bullying prevention training, we are looking for free trainings for that. So we have one in one state that provides that. So now we're just trying to determine if that training from the other states can be covered and used for the other states as well. As far as the AFRs being done on time, that is on the list as well. We're looking at those as going hand in hand as we work through the process of the audit.
Jim Sagerton, you're next. And yet you're muted if you're talking. Jim Sagerton. Do you have a question, Sagerton? Does anybody else have a question for Stephanie while we figure out, or while Jim figures out that he's not unmuted?
I got it figured out. Go ahead, let her go.
Yeah, go ahead, Sharon.
I just wanted to know if the, if she had started receiving some of those, some of the information regarding previous evaluations.
No, I have not. I've received evaluations prior to even this process being rolled out from one station for one GM.
Thanks. Sagerton.
Thank you. Sorry about the delay in unmuting. I'm on two devices, or two platforms, I should say. So I wanted to ask Stephanie, I noticed that there was no DNO insurance mentioned in the first tier there. I'm wondering if that comes in the second tier or what your thinking is about that. That's number one. And number two, in the proceeds of the sale, I might have not been listening well, but I didn't hear you describe anything about this central services moratorium, if you will, for 8 months. Could you say a little more about that?
Yes. As far as the DNO insurance, thanks to the generosity of one of our board members, we are caught up with that, but that is in tier two. So just because tier one and tier two, I didn't put tier two on here because I'm still making some adjustments to some of those, but the DNO insurance is on that, and tier two payments will probably be literally within a few days after this one, after these were made. As far as, yeah, the funding with the KPFK sale, it goes into a little bit of detail on the printed paperwork, but with the ED report, but I do with funds that are left over after all the expenses, you know, after the funds are made to pay off the FJC loan, the new location for KPFK and the archives, putting aside money to cover all the relocation and the build outs, replacing the funds for KPFA, paying off some of our aged payables. We're still in the process of negotiating a lot of those organizations and vendors, and also setting aside money for operational dollars for KPFK and the archives to deal with the move. I do want to set aside, I'd love to be able to do 8 months to 1 year. I don't know if we'll have enough funding to be able to do that, but to put aside some money, into the central services, account for the national office in order to give the divisions, a chance to use what they would be paying in central services to reinvest into their own infrastructure. And then we would be, you know, that infrastructure could be the hiring of additional staff. They could be catching up on some of their past due bills. They could have some sort of equipment maintenance or upgrades, whatever it is that they feel that they are needed to do to, again, put money and invest into their own infrastructure. I will be meeting with them, and we can be discussing as a group with the general managers how they want to best use what would be kind of a break in central service payments for whatever amount of time that we're able to set aside based upon what we have remaining from that sale.
Thank you. Chair, could I have one quick follow-up?
Sure.
Yeah. Stephanie, when we got the PPP money, the payroll protection plan money during the when the government was making that available in response to the pandemic, we got two drafts of 1.2 million for a total of 2.4. Then we got the EIDL loan, also associated with the pandemic, which was 2 million, and we blew through that, in my mind, shockingly fast, and kind of found ourselves in the same situation we were in before we got the money. After we got the money, the sale of this building is going to get us somewhere between 4.5 and 5.5, I think that's the estimate. And if we pay off EIDL, that's 2 million. And then I don't know what the estimate is for relocating KPFK and finding a new, building a new studio, I would imagine. And then the aged payables, you know, we know we have over 1 million in aged payables. And I know you say make partial payments, but I'm concerned. I'm sure you are. Are you laying this all out and, adding up the numbers and, if so, you know, maybe in the finance committee, you could give us a preliminary look at how that's all adding up. I was a little concerned with some of the proposals that came forward for how to spend the proceeds is that they seem to add up to more than there were going to be proceeds. So I'm wondering, I'm sure you're working on that. Maybe we could get a look at it in the finance committee.
I have that worksheet and spreadsheet pretty much open every single day, because that is my major concern as well, is that there will not be enough money left over to do what needs to be done. And the priority is making sure, well, the FJC payoff is a priority, but making sure that KPFK and the archives have what they need to succeed without the building is a huge priority. And regardless, that's why I have, you know, wanting to pay off aged payables, but I do not think that's possible. We've got to make sure that we have enough money set aside to make sure that KPFK and the archives have everything that they need to succeed for at least a year, to be able to get their feet on the ground, to raise the money, you know, and to get the programming up and raise the money that they need. And we've got to be able to support them and cover them with that. So yeah, that is a concern of mine as well. But I can easily share those spreadsheets that I have with the finance committee.
Chair, we
Thank
are
you.
At time.
Thank
you. That takes us to the next item on the agenda. Arthur, I didn't have a chance to check with you and see if you have an open session legal counsel report, but you're up if you have one.
No. Nothing new.
All right. Thank you. So now we're going to, so sorry, folks. I, wasn't,
Well, no, you know what? Let me say one thing that will make everybody happy. I hope. So I got to review the D&O insurance. We have more than D&O insurance. My wife just came in and gave me a whole box of black and white. We don't just have D&O insurance. We actually have employment practices insurance and management insurance. And that's really great news because, for example, we have a case going in, KPFA involving alleged, sexual harassment where we can now use this to pay the lawyer that we've hired to do it. And if we don't resolve the stuff at KPFW, we will have money to pay a lawyer through the policy. So, and I'm even going to explore with them whether it could have been used to pay or can be used to pay some of the New Day litigation fees because there is a, counterclaim brought alleging wrongdoing on the part of, the specific officers. So that's great news. I mean, it's a better policy than I thought we had.
Julie, I have a question for Arthur.
Yeah, go ahead, Dingman.
Arthur, can you explain in plain English what that document we got from the judge in Burbank was? Is it sort of a pox on all your houses? Or what is it that...
The way that in California, that often before you go in to argue, the judge writes a tentative decision that you then can point out where you think he's wrong or she's wrong. So what has been circulating is the judge's tentative decision on the New Day case, which was where we both moved for summary judgment, which is where you say, there are no facts in dispute, no relevant facts in dispute, and it's only an issue of law. So the judge wrote a tentative which said there are facts in dispute on everything in this case. It's going to have to go to trial. But then both sides argued to the judge that that he was wrong. And I argued he was wrong. And he didn't say, go jump in a lake. He said, I have to think about this. I will give you a decision the week of February, the first week of February. So that is just a draft, decision that he may reissue or he may modify. I think we had a very good point that he actually, about what section of the bylaws govern national bylaw votes when the board doesn't approve them. He was using one section and we said another section was applicable he got my argument and he will, go from there. So we'll see. But people shouldn't circulate that because that's just a draft tentative. It says tentative on the top.
Julie, I'll follow that up with a question, Arthur. Does this mean that there will be, another hearing in February or just that they would possibly just go straight to issuing a written decision?
No, there'd just be a written decision. We have a conference with the judge in April something.
Got it. Okay. Sagerton, is that a legacy hand from before? Or do you have a question for Arthur?
I do have a question for Arthur, and it was the same question I asked before. I concur with what he said. On listening to the hearing, it really did seem like he had convinced the judge that he had missed something, and that was really good. And Arthur, I asked you this before, and I just want to ask again. Didn't he seem to indicate that we would get a decision on that part about the two classes of voters in early February, maybe?
Yeah, he said, I'm at Judicial Council this week. I'll be back on the 30th, and I'll try to get you a decision during that week. That's what he said. That's what he said. And that's
the meat of the case, isn't it? Isn't that the main?
Well, because on the KPFK disqualified candidates, what he said is, I can't rule on that one until I rule on whether the New Day bylaws were passed. Because if they were passed, then that election wouldn't have happened anyway. It would be, and it would be moot. So that's how he dealt with that thing. So if he decides that the two classes of voting, counting two classes of voters was correct, then he'll have to think about whether there are factual issues or not on the disqualification of the two, the four candidates at KPFK.
Thank you, Arthur.
Any further questions for Arthur? All right. So that puts us,
point of order?
Back on the agenda. I'm sorry, Beth, go ahead.
Sorry. Somewhere where I was handing off the baton to you, we dropped the minutes.
I was just about to ask whether, in the pulling into my driveway, did I miss the fact that we passed, that we approved the minutes? So let's do that. And then we really will be kind of back on, the appropriate order of the agenda. So,
motion to approve the minutes
of January 19th, which Polina sent out to everybody. Thank you. is there a second?
I second.
Thank you, Sharon. Any discussion of those minutes? Hearing none. Are there any objections to approving the minutes as drafted? Hearing none, we'll consider those minutes approved. Of course, anyone can at any point down the road, if they find a correction that they feel needs to be made, bring it to our attention, and we will act on it at that point in time. Okay, so that brings us now to we're working on the motion items part of the agenda. And so then the first, there are three motions here. And the first motion, which is a 20-minute item, is a motion on financial austerity at the PNB. And I shall read the motion. Okay. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation is in the midst of a financial crisis and the PNB should endeavor to minimize its own expenses, therefore, be it resolved that the PNB will return to the convention of having the foundation secretary be responsible for meeting minutes, thus obviating the need for a paid recording secretary position, and be it further resolved that the PNB will forgo the services of a paid parliamentarian for its meetings and any PNB committee meetings. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. So the motivation here, I think the whereas clause kind of does really sort of say it all, which is, we've been asking some of the stations and units to do some belt tightening. I think one of the things that's really true, about our financial, situation is we all recognize the need to actually raise revenues and that we've cut, a lot of expenses and, cut them to the bone in many instances. But there were, these, financial or these expenditures that the board was making, the PNB board was making. We have found ourselves in the last, basically 6 months or so, you know, not doing a very good job paying our bills when it comes to paying the recording secretary and the parliamentarian. And, you know, one reason that we haven't had Mr. Tate at many meetings recently is because, you know, I felt that in good conscience we couldn't ask him to come to meetings when, it, you know, the prospects for paying him didn't look so great. You know, I view this as a sort of temporary thing. Obviously, it's way better, you know, when you can have a parliamentarian available. It's also, I think, much less demanding. And I think one of the things that happened why we split it some years ago, split the secretarial duties into foundation secretary, which is an officer of the foundation, and then recording secretary, which was a paid position, was that it was an awful lot of work for one person. But if we can find someone willing to do it, then, you know, that's an austerity measure that we can pass for the short run, keep our bills down. You know, I think once we get to the point where, you know, we've got a critical mass of stations making central service payments routinely, you know, it seems thoroughly plausible that we would be able to revisit the decision and bring people on. But I think for the short run, we probably have to, you know, kind of tighten the belt a little bit, just because we really can't in all good conscience run up bills when we really don't have the money to pay for them. So that's the motivation. Any further, any discussion? I see McFadden, and then I see Susan's hand. Go ahead, McFadden.
Much as I like the idea that we're not gonna, that in this frugal time, we're not gonna waste money, it seems like this motion is tying the hands of the new PNB, which starts meeting in a week. In a sense, the motion is kind of not needed because we can decide without a motion to show some restraint on these fiscal issues. You know, I don't quite see why we need a motion to do this. We just do it. And then when we decide not to do it, we don't need another motion then. Decide, okay, now we need to pay somebody because this is an important issue. It just seems like it puts another obstacle. Like there could be an event coming up, you know, some meeting in a month or two where we need a parliamentarian and, you know, just for one meeting. And then you're going to have to pass a motion to undo this. And it just seems like that just adds delays and our own restraint could do exactly this. So it just seems like this is not needed at all. So that's why I tend to be vote against this.
Thanks. Susan? You're still muted.
Jim McFadden got in just under the wire. Okay. A question. Did we have an agreement with Ms. Adane? Do we have an agreement with Mr. Tatum? So is there an expectation? I mean, in other words, do we have an ongoing relationship that is, you know, that has been approved by the Ellis, by the PNB? Number one. Number two, I think, John Tatum's done a superb job of training our chair. So, and you know, John, I still rely on you. So, I think that's, you know, if we can limp along, we can limp along in no small part because you've done a great job. Aki's doing a really good job. And as a station that went from 3 paid employees to 1, I appreciate the austerity measures. So that's what I have to say. I'm supporting.
Jim Sagerton.
Yeah, thank you. I want to agree with McFadden and say that I think with Marianne Adane, since she's – and we should stop using names, I guess. This is not a personnel issue, but it's, you know, people involved. With the recording secretary, she's gone. And, under unfortunate circumstances, but, So we don't really need to address that, but if we pass this motion, then we would have to rescind it or amend it after the fact to, if we needed to bring in a recording secretary. And we had discussion at a previous meeting about how not getting the minutes up in a timely manner can be bad, especially when we're trying to, you know, finalize union contracts or, you know, make, decisions about, how our LSBs are constituted and those sorts of things when we don't get the minutes out and then the people that are affected don't, get a chance to see it in writing. And there's some who say that until the minutes are out, it's not in effect. Although there's others who say if once it's reported, it's in effect. So anyway, I'm just thinking for at least for the recording secretary, we don't need this because we don't have a recording secretary right now. I'm wondering about with John Tatum though, you know, we passed a resolution to pay him. We made an agreement to pay him. And I guess that might even be considered a contract at this point because we've been doing it on a regular basis and he asked us for an increase at one point, which we granted. So I'm just wondering if we might need this for John Tatum, but if perhaps we could just have a gentleman's agreement with John Tatum, he's certainly a gentleman, that we could call him when we needed him and when we didn't, we wouldn't. And then he could still be on board with us. I know in his work, he's probably he could possibly be flexible enough to do that. So that's just a thought. I guess we would have to ask him as well at some point, obviously. That's it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, one thing I would say is, I think it's, you know, at some point, if what we're deciding here is, you know, contingent on what would John Tatum say about being willing to go, you know, kind of on a case by case basis, we would have to, I feel like that's more, that's not necessarily an open session thing. Okay, I see a couple more hands now. And I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. McFadden, did you put your hand down before, after you spoke? Okay. Beth is next. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, thanks. I'll be brief. I agree with McFadden and Sagerton, and I agree with you that there may be more to say in closed session. I recognize that we can't afford the luxury of these two positions right now, but I would rather not tie our hands at the moment. I'd like to leave the flexibility in place and just make the right decisions now about what we need to do without buying us up for through future decisions. Thanks.
Thanks. Darlene.
I am a little confused. Several weeks ago, Julie, you reported that Mr. Tatum wasn't going to be with us because, and it did sound as if it were his decision, we can't pay him. And we haven't been paying him. So I agree that if we're going to ask the stations for austerity, we can do it ourselves. Now, that does mean that I'm speaking in a way that I assume that there's going to be a lot of stepping up to do from other PNP members. And I definitely would check in again with Paulina as to doubling up the secretary's duties, whether that were the case or not. Because this motion does not mention a recording secretary still operating outside of the secretary's role. So I'd like to know what. I see Mr. Tatum is here tonight, but we had been told, or at least I assumed we had been told, that he was not at our service in an ongoing relationship because we can't pay him. That's it.
Alan for the staff.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I support this motion. I think that we ought to get a clean slate. Julie, you seem to be very resourceful and have learned, I guess, from the parliamentary procedure that you've had to use to get these meetings going. And I think that everybody on, at this time, everybody on this PNB seems very cooperative with you, and accepting of some of the decisions you've had to make. So I would say I'm all for a clean slate. And if we need a parliamentarian, then you can make a phone call and we could hire a parliamentarian for whatever, function we needed that person at. But I think that if we can't pay a person that we need to, make a clean break and let's be honest with ourselves. If we can't afford it, let's get into the austerity measures and work as a team and work as best we can.
Thanks. I'll just add just a little bit, which is to say that, it occurred to me that it wasn't necessarily, my call is that I don't know how the, decisions were made some time ago to bring on a recording secretary and a parliamentarian. I just know that people found those things helpful at the time. I don't know whether those actions were passed by motions. I don't know when it happened to know exactly when to go back and look in the minutes to, figure it out. And since that seemed like an awful lot of work and, I didn't want to make the decision unilaterally, but yet, I kind of felt like we needed to be fair to people that, we've asked to help us out, in exchange for remuneration, to be straight and honest with them. So anyway, that's kind of, another flip side of my motivation for putting this motion on the agenda was just to, not make it be, my call alone, right? So, and again, like I said, it's easily revisited, right? And in fact, I would expect that, if we get to the point, although sometimes people say that, one of the reasons why we sometimes bicker and argue is because, resources are tight and it just gets people's, it's stressful and it gets people worked up about issues. And sometimes when we're, a little overly worked up about something, it's easy for people to get, animated and, maybe a little out of control. So, yes, go ahead, Darlene.
Can I call the question? There are no hands up.
There are no hands up. Yes. Are there any objections to calling the question? All right. Hearing none. Are there any objections to the motion?
I object.
Okay. Let me try this. Are there, let me see if I need to go to a roll call vote. Are there further objections to the motion?
James, I object.
Let's see if we can just record the objections instead of taking a roll call vote. So, Sagerton, Baden.
I plan to vote no, not just abstain.
I object too, yeah. And I think we probably ought to have a vote.
Okay. All right. We'll go to a roll call vote. Aki, can you take a roll call vote, please?
Sure. This is on the motion on the austerity. So, okay. Teresa?
Alan says yes.
Alan says yes. Okay. Jim Tingman?
Pass.
Okay. Vanessa?
Pass.
Okay, Vanessa passes. Sue Goodwin. Sue? I'll get back to you. Heather Gray.
I'm passing as well.
Okay, Heather passes. Donna Grimes. Donna? Okay, get back to you. Judy? Oh, I'll get back to you.
I'm sorry, I'm Iveria, here.
Iveria Jones? Iveria Jones?
Yes,
I'm here. Yes, okay. Ariraksa? Ariraksa?
Madam Chair, I think that Donna Grimes' vote was missed.
Yes.
Donna Grimes?
Here.
Okay. Yes. All right. Ariraksa?
I think Avili also voted. I don't know if you got that.
Yes, I did. I said yes.
Yeah, I gave it, yeah. Ariraksa?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay, abstain. Okay, Maria Martinez.
I vote yes.
Okay, Maria is yes. James McFadden?
No.
McFadden is no. Doreen Pagano?
Yes.
Doreen is yes. Okay, Sean Rose?
Abstain.
Okay, Sean abstains. Jim Sagerton?
No.
Jim Sagerton is no. Okay, Shalom Salam?
I pass.
Okay, you pass. Tanaka passes. I say yes. Mark?
Yes.
Mark is yes. Beth?
No.
Beth is no. Okay. Gilberto Ruiz?
Yes.
Gilberto is yes. Susan Young?
Yes.
Susan is okay. Let me get back to the top again. Okay, Jim Dingman, you passed?
Yeah, I'll vote no.
Okay, Jim? Votes no. Vanessa Dixon votes?
No.
Okay. Vanessa votes no. Okay. Sue Goodwin? Okay. I don't hear you. Heather Gray? You passed?
No.
Heather is no. Okay. And let's see. Let's get back to Sharon Salam. You passed? Sharon?
No.
Sharon, okay, no, okay. And the last is Judy Hewitt.
Can you give me a vote count, Aki?
Sure.
Can I change my vote to abstain? This is Donna.
Who? Donna is abstain? Okay, yes. Donna Grimes is abstain, okay. All right, so we got... So we have... What, let's see, no, 1, 2, 3. We have 8 yes, 7 no, and 3 abstention.
Alright, I'll vote yes.
Okay. Judy votes yes. Alright, so 9 yes, 7 no, and 3 abstention. So the motion passes.
I have a call for information. I'm
Go ahead,
so
darling.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Is Mr. Foster not available to cast a vote?
Well, the new thing is not seated yet, right?
Yeah. So let me stop and explain, what happened here. So, at one point, we had actually started to make changes to the pnb@pacifica.org email address to put the new directors on, the new 2023 directors, and which made sense because the original intent was for this evening's meeting to be the first meeting of the 2023 PMB. But then, due to the matter that, will be dealt with in a closed session, that got carried over from, last week, we needed to not seat the new PNB until the old PNB had finished its business. And so, that's why the new PNB for 2023 will actually be seated at the meeting on January 31st. And then in the confusion, right, because at least the new directors who had been identified had gotten the email because they were on the list, I said, you're welcome to come this evening as observers, and we will seat the new PNB at the meeting on the 31st. So.
Thank you for the explanation.
Yes, sorry. It's, and I do apologize that, this has been a week where things have been moving rather quickly. So, if I didn't do a good job communicating the many moving parts to everybody, I do apologize about that. So sorry about that. All right. Next item. This is, the motion on KPFK representation on the PNB. All right, let me read the motion. And so this is number 5 on the agenda, at least as it was originally numbered, right? The motion is, whereas the PNB passed a motion on December 29, 2022 in open session on recent actions by the KPFK LSB, item number 6 on that agenda, stating that, quote, the directors validly elected by the KPFK LSB in 2022 to serve on the Pacifica National Board will continue to serve in their capacities as directors until a valid election for 2023 directors has been conducted by the properly constituted KPFK LSB as recognized by the Pacifica National Board, and properly elected directors are seated by the Pacifica National Board, end quote. And whereas California Corporate Code Section 5220 states in effect that the PNB, quote, may not extend the term of a director beyond that for which the director was elected, end quote. Therefore, be it resolved that until such time as the KPFK LSB meets to elect directors consistent with prior PNB motions on delegates, KPFK will not have voting directors on the PNB, and be it further resolved that the PNB invites Evelia Jones, Ali Lexa, and Beth Von Gunten as 2022 directors representing KPFK to its meetings at which they may be recognized to speak and offer a KPFK perspective on matters before the PNB. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. But let me give a little bit of motivation for this. After the PNB did pass its motion in late December, there were some emails circulating where someone said, I can't remember exactly what the email thread was or what the subject line was, but someone from KPFK sent an email around, and they actually quoted Section 7220 of the California Corporate Code, but that applies to a different kind of nonprofit than the kind that Pacifica is. 5250 is the... It is the part of the California Code that apply. Well, it's much more than Section 5250, of course, but the analogous section that applies to Pacifica, because of the type of nonprofit organization that Pacifica is recognized as by the state of California, the analogous section was in 5220, and basically it says if people were elected to a term, they can't serve. You know, as directors, they can't serve for a term longer than that. Of course, all the other stations are electing, re-electing directors, or in some cases, electing new directors. And so no other director's term is extended as a director. And so that's the sense in which, while I think, you know, we thought we had a solution back in late December, it turns out that we probably didn't have a legal solution. So this is the, you know, way to fix that. And, you know, perhaps it will be motivating to folks in governance at KPFK to, you know, come in from the cold and properly elect directors to the PNB since this motion says they will not have voting directors until they do that. So that's the motivation. Further discussion? Anyone?
Can I just...
My hand is up.
Could I just add something?
Yeah, go ahead. I got the fact that your hand is up, Beth. Go ahead, Arthur.
Today, John Tatum posted something that was fabulously illuminating. He said... What if that under our bylaws, if there's no quorum in a LSB vote, it provides that the sitting delegates continue in office. And that's exactly what happened here. So thank you, John. He used a lot more words to get there than I just did, but, so in fact, people that say that there's no way of extending people beyond 6 years, the position that we've been taking, in fact, has support in the bylaws. Just wanted everybody to know that. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Arthur. Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes. I agree with Arthur.
I think that the position we took initially was the correct position, and I would offer substitute motion. I'll motivate first. Those who are in place now are those who are most recently properly elected, and we don't have access to properly elected replacements at the present time. There are other places in our bylaws that refers to those who have been elected remaining in place until they are properly replaced by legitimately elected investors. And it's taking part, being a director, taking part in the PNB is much more than just a matter of voting. And it's not just a matter of socializing so much as, I mean, I won't turn down anything, but it's not being present and free to comment from time to time is not the same. Without full status, regular status as a director, we three surviving KPFK directors would lose our right to make motions, our right to populate committees, our right to stand for election as an officer, our right to carry out director's inspections, our right to attend all Pacifica meetings in executive sessions, and other attendant rights. And I, for one, have used every last one of those rights and responsibilities of a director in the past year. So I would like to offer as a substitute motion, leaving the initial recital clause in place, I would go on to say, therefore, be it resolved that rather than disenfranchise KPFK listeners, members, delegates, and directors at precisely the time that the KPFK real estate is at stake, the PNB affirms its previous resolution that the surviving directors validly elected by the KPFK LSB in 2020 to serve on the PNB shall remain in place in their capacity as directors to fully represent KPFK until a valid election for 2023 directors has been conducted by the properly constituted KPFK LSB as recognized by the Pacifica National Board, and properly elected directors are seated by the Pacifica National Board. And I would just add that I make this motion as someone who survived last week's improper election of directors at KPFK. So if those elections had been recognized as proper, I would be back. So.
Well, point of information, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I realize there isn't a second on this, but my question is whether the proposed amendment is counter to the legal interpretation provided to us by the general counsel and you, that this action we took, that I think Beth is an, you know, underscoring or returning to, is valid when we've just heard from you, and I thought Arthur, that it is not. So no, my question is,
I didn't say is, that.
What?
I didn't say anything about the validity of the motion. I said that the original action we took by extending the terms of the delegates was proper. I didn't say anything about.
Yeah, no, I apologize, Arthur, about the directors. I thought that there had been some back and forth. Okay. So I guess my point of information is it legally valid for us to extend the terms of directors as we originally voted and as Beth is reinstating?
Let me just add, this is very distinct from what we did because we were unable to hold elections in 2022 for delegates. This has everything to do with
directors.
Just what's going on at KPFK and the directors at KPFK, right? So, extending directors, which is what we did in that December 29th motion, the question is, Arthur, do you think that was legal or illegal? It didn't have anything to do with extending delegate terms. Delegates. Go ahead.
I'm going to look at 52. You said 5220, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I've got a stack.
But 5220 abides with what Elizabeth said, because it says, unless otherwise provided in the articles or bylaws, each director, including a director elected to fill a vacancy, shall hold office until the expiration of the term for which elected and until a successor has been elected and qualified. That's what it says.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Put your hand up, Susan, and get on the stack. Sorry. Arthur, did you want to say more on that?
No, that's what it says.
Okay. Next up is Dingman.
All right. So we're at this point speaking.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Beth put a substitute motion on the floor. I would appreciate it if Beth could, email that text to people, or at least one person, so that we could put it in the chat and share it with people, first off. And Beth needs a second before we can discuss Beth's motion.
Second.
Got it. Okay. Okay, so now what we're discussing is Beth's substitute motion. Okay, sorry. Dingman, go ahead.
All right, well, I support Beth's motion, because this whole situation has to be resolved as fast as possible for all sorts of reasons. And this is only my opinion. I watched very carefully those meetings. And essentially, it was manipulation of an interpretation of the bylaws, this is my opinion, to essentially shift the chessboard in a different direction. That's all. That's all we saw. And, you know, this grandiose, sort of Raymond Massey approach to the bylaws, which we heard several times in these meetings on and on, which basically to basically hide, essentially, a grabbing of power. So I can understand that. It's well within the tradition of Pacifica politics. But again, it's a monumental waste of our time, given the dire situation in the foundation. So I would support Beth's motion and also the motion coming up that talks about simply getting it back to square one and have a copacetic election without all the frills of one group deciding to, essentially, in my opinion, do a coup d'etat. Thank you.
Next up is Vanessa.
Just a question. What section of the bylaws did Arthur read from?
He was reading from the California law. Corporate Code.
And what section of that?
5220.
5220B.
Okay, thank you.
Is that it, Vanessa? Teresa, you're after McFadden.
I just, point of information, I'm very confused.
Did you just ask to be on the stack? Because you'll be after James McFadden.
Yeah, okay, point of information. Okay, fine, whatever.
Okay. Vanessa, were you done? Put your hand down. Okay, Sagerton.
Yes, sorry.
It's okay. Sagerton. Jim, if you're talking, we can't. Yeah.
No, I was, again, I'm switching back and forth. I wanted to say that it's not the California law, it's not the California law that determines the length of our terms for directors. It's our bylaws. And how we're interpreting our bylaws is that when it's called for by election, until people are properly replaced by an election, then the term hasn't ended. The term goes on until such time as a person is properly replaced. So I would agree with this motion. We need to have directors from KPFK, especially when, as it's been stated, their building is being sold. There's talk of other things. So I just agree with this interpretation. Thank you.
Alexa?
Yeah, I have a comment, and then I have a correction, I think, for Beth's substitute or amendment. Just wanted to thank Jim Dingman for his astute observation. We all know that if different people had been timing out, this whole thing would be going very differently. And we saw that when the first alternate staff member was denied being seated and they skipped over him to seat the third alternate. In Beth's amendment, she stated directors elected in 2020. I believe that should be 2022. That's all.
Oh, thank you. I'm looking at the version that she sent by mail, and it says 2022. So, at any rate, I will paste this.
That's fine.
Madam Chair, Alan?
Teresa, you are still after McFadden, who is, hang on one second, my mouse is
I have a point of information.
Okay. Go ahead, Teresa.
I'm just confused. Seems like we had decided that these people should be seated, just like all of the other directors were seated. And then somebody, I can't remember who, said, no, we can't do that. So now we have the motion on the floor. And now we have Beth's motion, which is to substitute. I'm wondering if we need a motion at all.
Point of information.
Okay, hang on. We can't keep piling things on. We have to deal with the point of information before we go on to the next one.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So I'm just wondering if we need a motion at all, if we can just, dispense with
information, Teresa.
The motion and the substitution. Thank you.
Teresa, your confusion is that we're talking about LSB members and directors. We voted to extend the term of the LSB members. We didn't vote to extend the term of directors in December.
No, we did.
Okay, thank you.
We did actually, Ali. It was on December 29th.
Okay.
We passed a whole bunch of things on December 29th. And so you're forgiven for not remembering that one little detail.
So my point of information would be, can't we let what happened on the 29th of December stand?
Teresa, I'm on the stack to ask that question.
Okay. Except Susan's, it's not Susan's turn yet, because Susan is after Teresa, who's after McFadden. Whose turn it is.
But not if I ask a point of information. And I guess.
But it isn't a point of information.
Hang on. You can't jump the stack by asking for a point of information. If it's really truly a clarifying question, yes, but that was a substance question. So I'm going to recognize people in the order that their hands came up. McFadden.
Thank you. First, I want to say, let's not worry about, first off, trying to find some detail in the rules, whether it be the California Code or the bylaws. Let's try to do what our listener members would want us to do in this situation. Why don't we just do the right thing? And because there's enough gray area here to give several choices. And despite what 5200B says, the PNB really has an ability here to decide if the directors coming from a LSB in revolt should have the right to vote. Because they're not, you know, that LSB as a body is what's in revolt. We should stop thinking about individuals as a body. It's not acting and doing what it should be doing. And therefore those directors, I would say, should not have any vote because they're not behaving as a body in a correct way to send us directors. So for us to kind of do an end run and say, well, we're just going to let the directors from the previous year, 2022, act as directors. That really sounds like extending directors without any in a way that really just looks bad. And so just from an optics point of view, I think that's a bad idea. And I'm much in favor of the original motion that was put here as it was originally, and not in favor of the alternate motion, which is going to be the PMB deciding that we're going to extend director's term for another year. It just kind of feels bad. And it also prevents some pressure that should be placed on the LSB at KPFK so that they abide with the directors. And I say that because even though I was against the way the rules on term limits all came down, but I still think we have to do it that way. Thank you.
So McFadden, can I just to clarify, what you just did was you spoke against Beth's substitute motion, but for the motion I put forward, or are you talking about?
That's right. Exactly. That's what I did. I thought the first motion was fine. I think Beth's motion, I think is going to have really bad optics and we shouldn't do it.
Thank you. I just wanted to be clear that you weren't talking about the December 29th motion. Okay. Susan, you're up next.
Yeah, thank you. I'm actually saying the same thing that Teresa did. The motion that we adopted in December extended the terms of both the delegates and the directors. All the delegates and then the directors from KPFK, so that they would be able to continue to be fully represented and served. There was then a lot of communication about how California Corporation Code did not permit the extension of directors' terms. If that reading of the California law is not correct, then we don't need either motion at all. The original motion adopted serves the purpose. So I really need to understand whether that was a real legal problem or a made up one.
And just to clarify again, Susan, when you said the original motion, you mean the one that we passed on December 29th?
Yes, that extended where we extended the director's terms, and you'll notice in your whereas clauses, you say that was deemed to be illegal.
Oh, okay. That's correct. That's part of the whereas clause. And that's because I thought that's what the outcome of the conversation had been when someone pointed out this part of the California corporate code. But.
So I guess I'd like to, I'm with Teresa. We don't need these at all. You and I'm sorry, I'm not timing myself. With Beth's substitute motion, you have a substitute motion that disagrees with the whereas clauses. And so we should just defeat the original motion.
So what is true is that, Beth's version of Beth's substitute motion only includes the first of the whereas clauses. It doesn't include the ones about the California corporate code. So.
Okay. So I will just continue to support her motion because it time, because it makes it more clear and emphasizes it. Thank you.
Okay.
Here we are at time.
Got it. We do still have a stack here. Arthur.
Motion to extend to exhaust the stack.
Second.
Are there any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack? And the stack is Arthur Dingaman, Stegerton, Beth, Aki, and Teresa.
Point of information. You can take me off the stack, but my question is Arthur included in that speaking?
I included him in the stack, yes.
Thank you.
I don't have anything to say. I'm sorry. That was not intentional.
Okay. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Dingaman, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I think I did not actually ask, were there any objections to the motion to exhaust the stack? Hearing none, that's what we'll do. Dingman, go ahead.
All right, look, the situation's really simple. All this started on December 18th and I watched that particular meeting twice, and particularly the latter part of the meeting, where one could see obviously that somebody was being put on without helping another guy have any adequate time. In fact, I understand that he actually declined to participate instead of declined to serve. So all you have to do is return it back to what existed on the 18th, eliminate all the baloney about the bylaws being this or that, because we saw what happened. It was basically, let's put three or four people for one particular faction on the board, come hell or high water, and that's what the result is. And again, the fear of the folks there, you know, has to be alleviated, because, you know, they're under a lot of stress, selling the building, et cetera, et cetera. You know, who the hell wants to be in that situation to start with? None of us. We don't want to be in that situation, have to sell anything. But unfortunately, the situation has gotten to the point where that has to happen. And so, to me, this is a ridiculous waste of time. I thank the people in KPFK for wasting our time on this for the past 2 months. We should be directed to figure out how to make that 0.2 turn to a 0.23 to a 0.4. Thanks.
Sagerton.
Okay, thank you. I just want to remind everybody that I believe it was on December 29th, the last time that we voted on this issue, it was not extending delegates' terms. The language we used on the advice of Mr. Tatum was to postpone the operation of term limits, which is a different thing. We can't extend the terms. That would violate the bylaws. So I hope everyone will get used to using the language that we adopted last, which means it controls, and that is postpone the operation of term limits, because there's a difference. Thanks.
Aki. Oh, I'm sorry, Beth. Beth.
Thank you. Yes. I know that this might seem to repeat what we have done before, but I feel the need to state positively that we recognize and affirm that our terms don't end until we are properly replaced by properly elected new directors. The substitute motion clarifies and reiterates that because there has been so much back and forth and dispute since then, it really helps to have Arthur's clarification of the law. And so I would just like to end with a question to Arthur. If we pass this substitute motion, Arthur, is that a legally defensible position?
Yes. Either way. But yours would not be illegal. But also, I think what's coming up is coming up with a method of electing a replacement so that this doesn't take, this is something in effect for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Hopefully that's so. Thank you.
Thanks. Aki.
Yeah, I thank Jim Sagerton for pointing out that the previous motion was a little bit weak, and I think the better motion is us stronger in supporting the California Corporation Code for the public benefit corporation as opposed to the mutual benefit corporation. So I totally support that motion.
All right, thank you. That was the stack, folks, which was how long we determined to extend for. So let me now ask if there are any objections to Beth's substitute motion. Hearing none, Beth's substitute motion passes. That means it clobbers the original motion as the motion. And now let me ask, are there any objections to Beth's substitute motion as the main motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, all of you. Thank you.
Yes, that takes us to the next item on the agenda, which is a motion to facilitate a meeting of the KPFK LSB. I shall read the motion. Whereas recent PNB resolutions acknowledge the inherent conflict between the bylaws requirement to hold regular 2022 elections and the financial impossibility to do so. Therefore, be it resolved that the PNB authorizes the chair and the general counsel to take all appropriate actions to assist in convening the legitimate KPFK LS local station board, restoring the delegates removed illegally and removing the delegates added illegally in order to conduct the legitimate business of the station in conformance with resolutions adopted by the PNB regarding the legitimate composition of the KPFK local station board.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion of this motion.
May
go ahead. Susan Young may motivate.
Yeah. Okay. The conversation we just had, underscores the importance of this matter because as I understand it, a subtlety in the California Corporation Code is you don't get to extend the terms extensively. You get to or postpone. You get to postpone for some relatively short period of time. It is essential that the legitimate KPFK LSB convene and start to conduct its own business. There has been a lot of conversation among people at KPFK, the directors on right now and other LSB members who support the legitimate formation, convening of their LSB. I want us to support them wholeheartedly in this and to authorize the chair and the general counsel to do everything they can to facilitate it. The situation is very complex there. I think Beth and others have looked at all the kinds of obstacles. We need them to make it a priority to convene the legitimate KPFK LSB so they can elect officers and so they can elect directors.
Thanks, Susan. Beth, you're next.
Thank you. Yes. I've had days of discussion about this, this option. There have been many who'd like to, who would have liked to push ahead already with this. My concern has been that, the split at KPFK right now is very, very clearly a factional split. And to, I'm concerned that, if we tried to call a meeting now, that it's very unlikely, we'd get, be close, very close, but it's unlikely that we would get a quorum, a clear quorum. That could change over time as circumstances change. I hope that over time we can bring people around. My concern is that if we try to kind of strong arm this before it, the circumstances are ripe to support it, that it will backfire and we'll get in, we'll have some number of people resisting, defying no matter what. I do want to work on this. I have been working on this, to push us into something that's, you know, not quite there yet. I worry about the outcome. So I have, I like the idea of getting to the point where we can have that meeting successfully, and I don't want to do anything to blow it on the way there. So I'm ambivalent. Thanks.
Sagerton and Dingaman. Go ahead, Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I want to sort of echo what Beth was saying, but with a slightly different twist on it. Yeah. What we saw, I think Dingaman was accurate, and what we saw at KPFK was one faction basically making a move to dominate the LSB there and sweep the director elections. And I don't want to see another faction use this situation to set up a meeting that will only be attended mostly by their side, and maybe a scattering of people in the middle, and sweep PNB director elections on the other side. So I hope if this passes, and even if it doesn't, what we need is to begin a dialogue between the two sides and hopefully get people to realize that we need to come together, both sides and the middle, and elect PMB directors that reflect the actual distribution of the electeds for that body. So, as long as the actions are appropriate that the chair and the council would take, I appreciate that, but I hope they would not do anything to say that we're going to force this meeting until we have a proper quorum. And I hope we will precede that with negotiations between the two sides, bringing people together so they can talk about this, because right now people are so far out on some limbs, it's going to be very hard for them to walk it back after some of the things that have been said. So I just hope we take the time and we do the work of dialogue to make that all happen. Thank you.
Thanks. Dingman, you're up.
Well, Beth and Jim bring up some good points about this. Again, this is my opinion. They're simply going to tell us to go to hell. And, you know, that's the reality. And the resistance to this is probably going to increase. And so that's a dilemma to have to handle. And I don't think one should back down at this point, because this is preventing anything from being done at the national level with them participating in it. I mean, this is ridiculous. And, you know, again, they go back and, you know, we had three resolution debates in the PNB about this. There were open discussions. And everybody felt, look, if we'd had the money, I mean, I'm listening to all this nonsense about, oh, they hid money. Well, you know, sure. What do you want to pay? The $80,000 for the transmitter rent up there at that place where you have the transmitter? The back rent is out, or do you want to pay for an election? I mean, what are we going to, what's the choices when we don't have the money coming in? And so, there has to be some serious dialogue between the people involved and also the PNB with the people that oppose us. Because I think this is, again, a monumental waste of time. We have to move forward and push for recovery, not sitting here engaging in an inter, you know, what do they say about the left? Everybody faces each other and shoots each other. It's a great example of it.
Ali Alexa, you're up. If you're talking Ali, you're muted. Go ahead.
Or Jim, as it's sometimes called, a circular firing squad. Yeah, I don't see this as a move by another faction to take it over, and I don't see any specific date in this motion. It's just a motion to try and get people together to finally have realistic elections to elect their directors and their officers so that KPFK's LSB can get moving forward instead of stagnating and just spinning its wheels. And, you know, we already know that the last KPFK LSB meetings, the PNB isn't recognizing anything that's happened. So it's just a lot of wasted effort and energy by a lot of people. This is just an effort to encourage those that are recognized as the legitimate members of the current KPFK LSB to get together and hold their elections for PNB directors and officers. So, and I don't see a date on there. So if we pass this motion, we still would need to find a date, and maybe between now and the time a date is set, some people in the middle can come together so that we can at least know that we'll have enough people to make quorum. And if we call the meeting and we have the date and it doesn't make quorum, then we go on to the next step. But there's no reason to postpone this. It should have already happened, you know. And those of us that are being held over, you know, we're only doing it to represent KPFK. I'm not running for the board for the PNB again. You know, I want to see someone properly elected and get seated. So this is just a way to move it forward. It's not a anti-factional counter move or something like that. Thank you.
Thanks, Ali. Susan, then Vanessa, go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of talk about how this is an effort to sweep the New Day people in. And I know I've had a lot of conversations, I know Arthur has, with people to say, hell no, that's not what this should be about, period. It should be about the folks who are reasonable coming together, the folks who the PNB has identified as being the legitimate LSB members to come together. I have a lot of confidence in Julie and Arthur, in Ali and Avelia and Beth, and in others who I've spoken to want to support the legitimate LSB. As Ali says, there's no time frame specified. However, the challenge on postponing
the terms for the director's extensions, this will be challenged in court if it goes past a matter of weeks. And so this is not something that can extend for the year. And I urge you all to protect KPFK and protect each other and protect Pacifica.
Thanks, Vanessa.
So I think you have to try to have the conversation. It may not work, it may, but it certainly won't work if the conversation is never had. But if you have a conversation, I think it has to start from a point where I don't think, and I think of the world of Dingman, I do, and he knows that I do, but I don't think that it starts by saying, we couldn't have the election, we couldn't afford to have the election, so the only option that we had was to extend these 6-year terms, which is the one thing the bylaw says thou shalt not do. That's not where you start. I don't want to say it's not an honest argument, because I know there are people who feel that way. I don't think it's an appropriate argument. And that's what they are basing their actions on, that they have a greater responsibility to honor the bylaws than they do to honor some, you know, instruction from the PMB that's violating the bylaws. I think it's got to start somewhere at the point that acknowledges a difference of opinion. Hey, we have a difference of opinion in this matter. No, you guys are of the strong opinion that it's this, you know, you feel like you've taken, you know, a principal action. It's got to start at some point of at least reaching out to them in terms of what they believe. I believe what they believe. Now, how this has gone on is a different issue, but there, I can respect people taking an action based on principled belief. And so if we go there, whoever goes there, saying, hey, we couldn't have the election, so this was the only thing we could do. This was not our only option. It just was not. It was the option that the PMB selected, based in part on a threat from Jan Goodman, do this or I'll sue. We had other options. This is what we decided to do. So I think we should at least be forthcoming enough to say, this is what we thought was best, and at least try to have a dialogue from that point forward.
Thanks. I see Ali and Dingaman. But you guys have both spoken already, and Aki's next on the list, so I'm going to jump
Alan
to Aki
stack.
And Alan, two people who haven't spoken, and then I'll come back to you. So, Aki, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that, you know, both sides of the issue has been argued fairly extensively, and I think it is a question of interpreting the bylaws. So I think that, you know, people should just simply sit back and read all of the details, because, yeah, there are a lot of information that has been presented by both sides. And so it's not a question of, you know, I think it's a legal issue. You can look at the bylaws and actually make a fairly reasoned decision about this.
Thanks, Aki. Teresa, you're up next.
I think this is clearly a matter of insubordination. I mean, and it's like the tail wagging the dog. Clearly, the PNB are the ones that have the DNO insurance. Clearly, we're the ones that have to make decisions like this. If you have a renegade board, I mean, it could be your board. I don't think anyone here would like it if, for example, they were next to step up to their board and they were told they could be seated, and then they were seated, and then the next minute, you know, they didn't take the next person, but the next person after that. I mean, these people are clearly off the rails, and we just can't have individual boards making up the rules the way they want.
So I think that this motion is an attempt to say we are in charge, pay attention, our chair is going to work with our corporate counsel to get them back on track. And I think that there probably will be some resistance, but that's maybe why we need to have a trial for the people that are clearly just trying to make up rules any way they want. I mean, they're not taking the risks. They're not meeting every Thursday night to try to figure out how we can get ourselves out of this mess. And I want the PNB to support Julie and the corporate counsel to get these meetings, to attempt to get the legitimate board to do the right thing.
Thanks. Thanks. I put myself on the stack because the point, a lot of people have said some good things here. I think one of the things, just picking up a little bit on what Vanessa said, I think one of the things that is true is I don't have an objection to people taking a principled stand. And I understand that the principled stand that they're taking, I think if their actions had stuck to the principled stand and not kind of deviated quite a bit so that also included were some things that were, out of bounds, like, reaching past someone on the delegates on the runners up list to get somebody else, right? To me, that's not a principled stand. That's the antithesis of a principled stand. And I think the fact that they're willing to, let the ends justify the means just doesn't sit very well with me. And so that's the part where, if we're going to have a dialogue with people to get the, KPFK, LSB properly seated, the properly seated delegates to, sit and have a meeting. I feel like there's going to have to be some recognition on their part that, properly seated means properly seated, right? So any rate, and now I'm taking my hand down. So now everybody has spoken. And so Ali and Digman, we'll go back and hear from you. Second bites at the apple. Go ahead, Ali, then.
Okay, just two quick points. If this meeting is held and it reaches quorum, regardless of who attends, all of the recognized KPFK LSB members will be given ballots. They will be emailed ballots, so no one is going to be excluded. Also, all recognized members of the KPFK LSB will have the opportunity to nominate officers and directors. However, it has to happen within the umbrella of a recognized LSB, not an LSB constituted of a mishmash of people that, as Jim has mentioned, just brought on from their faction or whatever. So just remember, even if we just barely make quorum, everyone will receive a ballot, so no one's being disenfranchised. That's my point.
Thank you, Ali.
Point of information.
That was excellent. Yes, Teresa.
Point of information. Would the person that steps up after Lawrence Reyes's passing, would that person be recognized or not? I'm just asking to anticipate a possible question.
That's actually a really good question, Teresa. So Lawrence passed away on December 31st. And so what happened was the KPFK LSB started inviting people who were not properly elected directors, they went down the runners up list and they didn't, that was going against the motion that the PNB had passed, and B, they reached down further down the list than they should have. And so that happened before Lawrence passed away. So really, technically speaking, what needs to happen is the KPFK LSB list of proper delegates needs to go back to the, basically December 17th, because that was the last day the properly, constituted LSB existed. And then, fast forward to Lawrence's passing away, replace Lawrence, Now you've got the properly seated KPFK LSB, right? Because our bylaws tell us what to do in the event of someone passing away. And so that's the group that, you know, as Ali just so eloquently stated, that's the group that is eligible to make nominations. That's the group that, and the people from whom the nominations come. I mean, the names that can be nominated for both officers and then in turn directors. And those are the people who get to, you know, fill out the ballots. And Darlene's telling me that we're at time for this item. So that, yes, that answers your question.
Motion to exhaust the stack.
So the stack is, thank you. Just so that everybody knows, the stack is Dingaman and Sagerton. Any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of two?
If I'd like to call the question.
Okay, so calling the question, are there any objections to calling the question?
I don't think you can call the question in the middle of a vote.
Well,
after extending the stack.
Exactly. Hang on. Yeah. Okay. So you're right. I was in the middle of a vote. So, I was basically asking, were there any objections to, extending to exhaust the stack of two? Any objections?
Yes.
Are there any further objections beyond Sharon? Do I need to go to a roll call vote or can I just note that Sharon is objecting to extending the stack? I don't hear any further objections. Okay, so then I won't go to a roll call vote, but deem that the motion to extend the stack passed with objection, with one objection. Dingaman, you're up, then Sagerton.
Well, I want to thank Vanessa for bringing up those issues because that would be a good source of trying to explore ways to reconcile and get beyond this. You know, I'm preparing a class on the American Revolution, so all I'm doing is reading one primary account after the next about taxation without representation and the Stamp Act opposition and all that. And, you know, listening to the rhetoric coming out of KPFK reminds me so much of those kind of debates. But, again, along the lines of what Julie said earlier, I mean, you know, I mean, I spend every day looking at statements by people who claim great noble causes, but of course it's crass self-interest. And I always will look at crass self-interest as a motivation that uber all is everything. But I do think that what Vanessa suggested is a very good way. I think much greater thought should be put to that because we have a lot of irreconcilable differences within the foundation and at the LSBs and at the producer level. And these kind of problems are essentially preventing us moving forward in general in a unified fashion. So they deserve to be dealt with and worked on. Thanks.
And Sagerton.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say in response to a previous comment that I did not vote based on a threat of a lawsuit, not from Jam Goodman, nor from Grace Aaron. I voted to participate, or rather to postpone the operation of term limits, despite those threats. And this is not a corrupt thing, as some have said. This is not greedy people seeking to hold on to power. This is people who do this PMB work like a second job. It's like 40 hours a week or more for some to do this work. Nobody's greedy to do this. And the phrase, in no event, in the bylaws, as Aki has pointed out and I've pointed out and others, refers to cumulative midterm vacancies. It doesn't refer to regular 3 and 6 year terms. Vacancies from which are to be filled according to the bylaws, the sacred bylaws. Not by, in the words of the teller, defeated people who were defeated in the last election, but by newly elected delegates. That's the bylaws. That little phrase, in no event, doesn't refer to ever, never, ever, even if you don't have an election. It refers to if you serve part of a term and then another part of a term and then you get reelected, you can't serve that full term because you'll hit the 6-year limit. That's all. And thank you.
Thanks. So I think we are, we've exhausted the stack now, and I'm disappointed that I'm not going to get to go to Disneyland, but are there, are there any objections to the motion to facilitate a meeting of the KPFK LSB?
This is Beth. I don't object to a meeting. I am concerned about the kind of compulsory language in the motion. I would be happy to work on toward a meeting like this with anyone else who wants to work on it, but I have a lot of reservations about the language in the motion.
Are you objecting to the motion so that we should record you as an objection, or shall I just say, please. Well, okay. So then, are there any further objections to the motion such that I would have to go to a roll call vote?
Chair, I'm just going to abstain.
Okay. So, should we say that, is it okay if I say that, this motion passes with one objection and one abstention? Hearing no objections to that statement.
I think I probably really need to get my no on the record given the delicacy of all these
issues. You don't need to say another word, Beth. Let's just go to the roll call vote. Thanks. Aki, could you do the roll call vote, please?
Okay. Teresa?
Alan says yes.
Teresa says yes. Jim Thingman?
Yes.
Jim is yes. Vanessa?
I'm abstain.
Abstain, okay. Sue Goodman? Sue? Heather Gray?
Yes.
Heather is yes. Donna Grimes?
Yes.
Okay, Donna Grimes. Yvania Jones?
Yes.
Is yes. Ayuraksa?
Yes.
Ayuraksa is yes. Maria Martinez?
Yes.
Yes, okay. James McCarran?
Yes.
Yes. Doreen Pagano?
Yes.
Doreen is yes. Sean Rose?
Abstain.
Abstain, okay. Sean's abstain. Jim Sagerton?
Pass.
Pass, okay. Sharon Sarah? Sharon?
Pass.
Pass, okay. Tanaka says yes. Mark?
Yes.
Mark is yes. Okay. Beth Van Gutten?
Regretfully no.
Okay. Beth is no. Gilberto Willis? Gilberto? Okay. Susan Young?
Yes.
Susan is yes. Let me get back to, Sue Goodman. Are you on? All right. Jim Sagerton, you passed?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Shalom Shalom, you passed? Shalom?
No.
No, okay, all right. And Igberto, are you there? Okay, so good. Go back to jury. How you vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay, you vote yes, all right. Fourteen yes, two no, and two abstentions. So the motion passes.
All right. That takes us to kind of the winding down portion of the open session agenda. So we had an item for unfinished business, which I think we kicked the can down. The one thing that's listed there, I think we kicked the can down the road to March. I am unaware of any new business unless someone brings it up really quickly. All right. So that brings us to the motion to move into executive session, which was at a time certain of 10:30, but it's only 10:49. This is not bad, folks. We're doing pretty well. Can I get a second to the motion to adjourn? I didn't say that. Motion to move into, can I get a second to the motion to move into, executive session. Thank you. Any objections? Hearing none, we will do that. I will...